I believe that 99% of all the Christians that know Galatians 2:20 by heart do not know what it means. For they have taken its meaning and distorted it, used it for a direction in which God never intended it, and thus have missed the truth of it. It is a well-known verse, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh yes, says someone, that's talking about the surrendered life. It is not talking about anything of the kind. Oh, that's talking about our being yielded to him and dying to sin. It is not. It has no reference to dying to sin. To make it mean that is to pull it out of its context. Now, if you want verses about dying to sin, I can find them for you. Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth upon the right hand of God, and so on. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. If you want verses for that doctrine, there are those verses. But Galatians 2:20 is something quite different. It does not talk about being dead to the flesh. It talks about being crucified with Christ to the law. It is setting forth the fact that the Christian lives a life of the mind, a life of the spirit, a life of the heart that is totally free from restrictions, from legalities, even from the Ten Commandments. That may startle some people. Now, before I'm finished, you'll see, and I warn you right away, I'm not saying that you can go out and break the Ten Commandments. But I'm saying that you can arrive at a life of holiness by God's true direction instead of seeking it by a legal method that brings you in bondage. So don't misjudge that sentence until I've had an opportunity fully to expand it. When the law of God was considered in the Old Testament, it was a ministration of death. When it first came home to me, I saw that I was a dead man. I saw that the wages of sin was my death. Then it was that God revealed his Son in me. Then it was that I knew that Christ had died for me. And I received him as my Savior. He revealed Christ to me in that great mystery. Christ made flesh, dying for me. Christ made sin for me who knew no sin, in order that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now have no mistake about it. The object of the Christian life is that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then someone says, well, then why did you say that I am free from the Ten Commandments even? What I am pointing out is that we are to have righteousness. But as it says right in the context of our text, if righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. He was crucified for sin. He became my ransom and my redeemer. He redeemed me. Now, if I had died for my own sin, I would have died forever. But when I died with Christ, as the first clause of my text says, I am crucified with Christ. When I died with Christ thus, I both died and lived. I became one with him in his death. And when that happened, I awoke to the fact that I was one with him in his resurrection. It releases the Christian from a life of legalism. It brings us to the glorious liberty of the children of God. I learn that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, that old things have passed away, and that all things have become new. Now, I am still dead to some things. To some things that are dead and which shall never see resurrection. And that is, as the context shows, I am dead to the law, and the law is dead to me. Now, look at the context of this text, and let me read half a dozen verses in Galatians 2. We who are Jews by nature, says Paul, and remember that this passage follows the moment when Paul had resisted Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. Peter had traveled with Paul up to Antioch, the Gentile country. and he'd gone into Gentile houses, and he had sat there at the table while the hostess served him ham. And Peter looked at goggle-eyed at his plate with ham on it, and then he took a piece, and he smacked his lips, and he said, "Not bad." And he settled down and began to live like the Gentiles. And day after day passed, and there he was. And all of a sudden, somebody knocked at the door, and Peter was scared to death when they told him it was a committee come from Jerusalem. He went out the back door, stopped at the drugstore, and bought something for his breath to take the odor of ham off, and came around and said, "Oh, I'm so glad to meet you." And Paul says, "Peter, I am not going to let you get away with it." And he turned to the committee and says, "Peter has been living like a Gentile among the Gentiles, and just because this committee has come, I am not going to allow him to come back to a spirit of fear. I've got to keep a law. I can't eat ham. I can't live in a certain way. I must wash my hands in a certain way, live kosher, pots and pans, watch what kind of cloth I buy." Paul says, "We're through with that horrible horror of a legalism which could only kill. We are made alive in Christ, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed," that is to say, if as a Christian I start to make rules and say, "Well, my life is going to be, I don't dance, I don't play cards, I don't go to the movies, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't use lipstick, I don't swear, I don't do this. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." And anybody that has a set of rules and says, "Well, a Christian is to be marked by a set of rules," is making himself a transgressor, because, says God, if you take 10 things and say, "Well, that is going to be my status of life," God says, "I'm going to put you right back under 200 things. And then you'll be a transgressor of all of these things." So says Paul in the next verse, "I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ." Now you see the context. "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. For the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And then he concludes, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Now, as I say, when I died with Christ, I died to the law. The law is there, for I live in the world that exists with the Ten Commandments in it, and with all sorts of codes that have been written by people through the years. Various codes in various ways of bringing people back under law. And when you live in such a world, the law sometimes looks at you. I know the law sometimes looks at me as though it knew me, and as though it had something against me, and was about to bring up something against me. But after a time, the law only looks at me and passes by. At such moments, I would tremble in my soul. But at such moments, God again reveals his Son in me. Then it is that I can say with David, "And why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" And I can say to my soul, "Thou and I are crucified with Christ." Now the next clause says, "Nevertheless, I live." Yes, in a way, but also in such a manner that it is no longer I, but Christ. In some ways, I am the same man that I was before I was joined to Christ in crucifixion death. It's the same hands, the same feet, and yet with the marks of Christ. Outwardly, I may appear to be the same, but inwardly, the believer has gone through death and resurrection. So says Paul, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Now this clause is an explanation and an expansion of the truth. "Nevertheless, I live." The life in the flesh. Look at Paul, for instance. What was his life in the flesh? in travels often. East and west he went, preaching, tent making, arriving in a town, getting a job, starting to earn his living, beginning to preach, establishing a church, writing epistles. That was the life he lived in the flesh. But beneath that and behind it all, there lies this great mystery, life and death, united with the Lord Jesus Christ, crucifixion and resurrection, justification and sanctification. The passerby might have seen a man with needle and thread sewing canvas. But the Holy Spirit sees a man that is totally free from any law, whether the religious law of the Jew or the law, any law of the nation, in order that he may be joined to Christ and live a life that would fulfill all of the demands of God. And when you've fulfilled all the demands of God, you will have fulfilled everything. Now this present life, says he, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My present life, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I do not live by a code. I do not live by legalism. I do not live by the Ten Commandments. I do not live by the Sermon on the Mount. I live by the faith of the Son of God. In some things, it is, of course, now changed from the law. In so many, many things, my life has been released from the law. When I go in to buy a suit, I forget all about the fact that the law says you may not buy a suit that's made partly of wool and partly of linen. Be ye holy. Do not have any mixed goods. I can wear anything. It does not make the slightest difference. Oh yes, you say, we're free from that law. But then the horrible thing came that the church, after saying we're free from the ceremonial law, started to make a distinction and put up some other type of law. And above all, in many fundamental camps, there were laws that were made that a Christian had to do this and had to do that, and so that they almost bound the conscience of the believer, instead of letting him live in that freedom of Jesus Christ, which will bring true holiness. For you see, don't misunderstand me. The object that I am seeking to attain for all of us is holiness, righteousness. But says God, if you ever try to do it by saying, well, that's the law, I must follow that path, God says you'll never do it because you'll be living in a sense of fear. But if you realize that you died to that law, that I am crucified with Christ to the law of Moses, nevertheless, I live to the life of Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, there's no doubt of the fact, in moral matters, I am still conformed to the law of God. But I am not obeying any one of the Ten Commandments, and I nevermore will do so. I will obey Christ. Well, you say the effect is the same. Well, the effect is the same, but it's entirely different in the sight of God. You say you won't kill anybody. I certainly will not. The Lord Jesus wouldn't let me do so. You'll not live in impurity? No, I will not. You will not steal? No, I will not. You will not bear false witness? No, I will not. The Lord Jesus Christ will not let me, for he is furnishing his life within me. Well, someone says, after all, isn't this a mere question of words? My dear friends, it's a question, if you will, of words. But if you follow the system of words, you're going to be living with your head bowed before a code. And if you refuse the system of words, you're going to be living with your face turned toward God and your heart in heaven. Now, outwardly, people will see, they'll say, well, this man doesn't steal and this man doesn't steal. But this man is saying, oh God, thou, I fear thee, thou hast given me a law, I mustn't steal. And this man is saying, Lord, thy life is within me, and I thank thee that daily thou dost make me content with the things that I have, so that I do not covet that which any other man has, and I do not want to put my hand upon it. I am not obeying, and nevermore will do so. I am asking the Lord to live his life in me. But I will give my life to be possessed by Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ possesses my life, then he is going to free me from any question of a code, and is going to come within me with warm and vibrant life that will produce righteousness and holiness of the type he wants. I am dead to the law, and the law is dead to me. Now, if an obedience to the law comes about by my faith in Christ, well and good. But the law I am under, and the law I obey, is the law of the life of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Alexander White said this, holiness itself, complete and spotless holiness, would not win me back to the law, nor reconcile me to its dominion or authority or rewards. If someone came and told me I could have perfect holiness and eternal life by the law, I would refuse it even if it was offered to me. I have suffered too much from the law ever to trust it. No law for me anymore. Christ and Christ alone is lawgiver and righteousness, power and truth, strength and salvation, temporal and eternal life to me. Christ is made unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I am complete in him, and the law will never again find me among its disciples, its devotees, or its debtors. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Christ. Unto God, by faith in his Son, I say, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, the law never loved me. The law never gave a hair of its head for me, but Christ died for me. Even when I obeyed the law didn't do anything for me. Paul tells of his experience. You might hear Paul say, even when I obeyed the law, above many of my equals in my own nation, so that I could say, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless, all the time the law never loved me. And then when I, in the least commandment, inadvertently and unconsciously broke it, the law turned upon me with its bowels of brass and its sword of vengeance. And thank God when Jesus died, he said, you are dead to all of that legalism. You are alive, alive. But oh, the depths of the grace of God, I see now that he loved me and gave himself for me. I have a very interesting translation of this passage in Philip's letters to the young churches. And it should be noted that right at the end of this passage, just after my text, there's the fence and the gate in the road that stops so many people. If you take out the words Galatians 3 and read my text right on into the two verses that follow, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The next verse is, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Phillips, in his paraphrase of the New Testament, has a marvelous word here. But if I attempt to build up again the whole structure of justification by the law, then I do in earnest make myself a sinner. For under the law I died, and now I am dead to the law's demands, so that I may live for God. As far as the law is concerned, I may consider that I died on the cross with Christ, and my present life is not that of the old I, but the living Christ within me. The bodily life I live believing in the Son of God, who loved me and sacrificed himself for me. Consequently, I refuse to stultify the grace of God by reverting to the law. For if righteousness were possible with a code of law, then Christ died for nothing. Oh, you dear idiots of Galatia. I love that. When I read that, I rejoiced that he had somehow seized the truth of the Greek. For, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You see, that doesn't touch you as much as you realize that Paul is turning to the Galatians whom he loved, and saying, oh, you dear idiots of Galatia, who saw Jesus Christ crucified so plainly, who has been casting a spell over you? I wish we could realize that, because the devil seeks to bring us back to law in a thousand ways. My, the remarkable wonder that life could develop as we realize that we're free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. Oh, you dear idiots of Galatia, says Paul, who hath put a spell over you? Search your hearts, dear friends, if you find any legalism, if you find anything that wants to exalt one day above another, if you find anything that wants to make one place more holy than another. There is no place that you go, there is nothing that you do that is not to be filled with the great fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you and joined you to him in his death and his resurrection, so that as you go, you say, Christ walks down the street. Christ in me leads me to the reading of this book, to this amusement, because he'll give you plenty of rest. He won't take away your sense of humor. He will allow you great Christian fellowship. He will be very much alive. You'll not be a fuddy-duddy if Christ is running your life. You'll not be a prim, prissy person if Christ is running your life. Those that come in contact with you will say, that is the most alive person I ever met. How human, how wonderful, how divine. And that's the way it must be with us if Christ is to fill us. Oh, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not stultify it. My righteousness shall not come by the law. Otherwise I make that Christ is dead in vain. May God teach us in these glorious truths. Amen.